pride poisons everything it touches. It poisons every single thing it touches, is what pride does. You could have the most virtuous person you've ever met, intelligent, right about all the important things. They're right, faithful in all the external ways. They practice their faith. They help their neighbor, their community. They're generous. Yet, once pride enters in, once you start with a drop of that pride into the whole mix, it poisons everything. All those virtues, they become warped. It destroys beautiful things, is what pride does. And it ruins them from the inside out. Because the poison, and this is the real danger with pride, is it's a poison which you can't necessarily sense, smell right away. But what it does is when it enters in, it makes everything rot. And it's a rot that starts from the inside, where it might not even be noticeable to the person or others at first. But soon enough, the whole thing is rotten. The whole person in their spiritual life has become rot. And I want us to think primarily here, because you can look out in the world and see pride, 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 pride everywhere, of Christians, of the church itself, Catholics. Because nothing is more repulsive than a Christian, a Catholic, who's filled with pride. Whether it's an intellectual pride or a spiritual pride. And it's not just repulsive, but it's a repulsiveness which turns one away from God. God resists the proud. Even when they're right, he resists them. But within the humble, he has a foundation on which he's able to build. So God's the creator. And he created us out of dust. The word humility itself, humility means from the earth. Because it was literally from the dirt, from the earth, that he created us. We see this in Genesis. We even see it if we understand and accept certain theories of evolution, that we're literally from the dirt. And we hear in Genesis that God took us from the dirt and he formed and shaped us and he breathed his life. He breathed the soul into us. And so human beings are in this unique place where we're caught in this space between earth and heaven. That what we're made of is both earth and heaven. And what God did was he formed us and created us, and what pride did in the fall was it returned us to that place from which God had taken us. Because what happened after the fall? What was the main consequence? Is that we would now die. We would now return to the earth, to the dirt from which we had been taken. God had taken us, he has taken us, breathed life into us. And because we have the life of God, holiness, those words up there, holy, 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 sanctus, 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 holiness is God. Because we have that in us, we're able to live. But pride, which is at the core and it's at the heart of every single sin, is our going back into the dirt. It's that rot. It's why pride rots us. Because it's like it's death within us. It's the beginning of the decomposition process in your soul. That's why it's not just a figurative term. Pride makes you rotten, you stink and become repulsive. It's because death is doing what death does in you. You return back to the earth. And so to be humble, to live in a way in which Jesus speaks and calls us to a humility, is to live in the truth of who we are. Humility is truth. That we are from the earth. But it's the truth that we are from the earth. And when something from the earth is united with something, the one from heaven, all of a sudden it's filled with eternal life. It's filled with eternity, which does not rot. It does not decompose, but instead has life. And so everything in which when God became man, right there, that was the great act of humility of God, that God took on the earth, the things of earth. The Eucharist is the sacrament of humility, that God becomes present to us in bread and wine. And that we're able to receive that and receive the life of grace and the sacraments and prayer. And we have this thing which keeps us from rotting. It keeps us from decomposing. I hated math in school. And so I'm going to give you some basic math. And so if it's not very good, it's because I hate math and I'm not good at it. But this is how it works. This is how it works. Humility, us being from the earth, humility, when it's joined with the one from heaven, is what holiness is. That's why humility is the foundation. It's the foundation upon which God always builds. Look at salvation history. Look all through the Bible. It's the humble that God uses and comes to. He comes to the most humble, simple girl, Mary, and through her brings the Savior of the world. In every single Marian apparition, it's always the humble that Mary comes to. And God uses this in all of the saints who he's made the foundation of his church. Peter, Paul, the two pillars. Peter denies Jesus 3 times. The Lord allows him to. He tells him he will deny him. But he allows him to turn away from him 3 times so that after the resurrection, the Lord restores him. Simon, do you love me? Feed my sheep. 3 times. So that Peter could lead the church from a place of true humility. Knowing of his own weakness, his own tendency toward returning to sin, to the dust. Paul, he himself who tried to wipe out the church, had to become blinded so that he could learn to see again, and so that he could proclaim nothing but Jesus Christ and his resurrection and the power of the cross. God always uses the humble to build his church. It's the foundation, because where pride poisons everything and makes it rot, humility allows God to redeem us so that we might be filled with life. Today is the feast day of St. Augustine. It's overshadowed humbly because Sunday is a greater feast day. Sunday is a celebration of Easter, of the resurrection every single Sunday. And so it's overshadowed, which is good for Augustine. He needs that. But this image of Augustine, he was a huge part of my own conversion. Augustine, 4th century, he was a man who had every single gift and talent you could imagine. He was incredibly intelligent, probably one of the brightest minds ever to walk this earth. He was super charismatic. He was incredibly attractive. He had all these gifts. And the story of his conversion, which there's a lot into it, but the story of his conversion is everything in his life that he wanted, that he sought after, because he was filled with these great gifts, he was able to get. The beautiful woman, he wanted that, he sought after it, he was able to get it. A job of great prestige, he eventually became what was essentially the speechwriter for the emperor in Rome and then Milan. He wanted it. He just put all these gifts that he had of his mind and his willpower toward it, and he was able to get it. But his conversion story, just to sum it up, is this restless heart he had, and the one thing he could never get, though he sought after it, was God himself. And so the story of Augustine's conversion was, first of all, a conversion of his own mind, his intellect. That God was not something he could just get and begin to just completely understand. That there was much he could, but his mind had to be humbled before God if it was able to receive the mystery. And his heart, even once his mind had been converted to the Christian God, his heart could not capture it. He wasn't content with just the surface level, okay, I believe in God, I guess I'll say these prayers. No, he had a heart which said, if God is real, and they say you can experience and encounter him, then I want that. And so he sought after him. Do you want to become humble? Do you want to really become humble? Enter deeply into prayer, the life of prayer. Seek after God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul. That'll humble a person. It humbles a person. Because you sit there and realize, I can't just seek after God and, oh, I got him now. But he brings you to a place of humility where you're then able to receive. And this was the same for Augustine as well, to the point in his life where there's a great scene in the garden, and he's longing for God. He's longing to break free from all these earthly things, that he realized that all his great gifts were driving him into the ground. And he broke into tears where he was finally at this place of real humility where God was able to build. Because he recognized his incredible gift of mind, his charisma, everything he had, he was using to destroy himself and others in his life. All those virtues he had, they were rotting. But in his conversion, every one of those gifts he had was able to be used now, not simply for the salvation of his own soul, for the redemption of his own mind, but he became one of the great foundation stones and pillars of the church. That his mind, now redeemed to God, he spent his life as a bishop fighting off the different heresies, the false teachings, the Arians who rejected an entire council of the church. He argued against them because his mind had been redeemed. It had been humbled and knows that the truth is within the church. And it's what God gives us. His heart as well. Every passion he had now was oriented toward God, and that it's holiness he came to write. It's holiness that saves us. God's life within us that saves us. And so you see in the image, there's this sun up here, and it says Veritas, which is truth. And his mind and his heart are both set on fire for it. God wants the same thing for us. He desires the same thing for us. Humility is beautiful and strong, and it attracts people. Real holiness attracts. And God is able to use humility upon which he builds holiness to build his church and his kingdom.